Well, we had winter and spring this week. Someone said summer, but I don't think quite summer. Tomorrow, okay. We're looking at 1 Corinthians, and we see there that, as we looked at last week, that God chose to use something that the world considered weak and foolish, but it was actually wise and powerful. And we continue with this idea of weakness and power as we look into chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, the first five verses. Weakness and power. And let's read these five verses together. I'll read the odd verses and you read the even verses, okay? When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. So we're going to talk about these three words: weakness, fear, and trembling. Fear and trembling go together. And so first we're going to look at weakness, and we're going to see how Paul uses weakness in reference to the message, to the messenger himself, his manner of preaching, and to the Corinthians, his audience. And as you remember from last week, he said, Christ, the expected Messiah, hung on a Roman cross, was weak and foolish to the world. But it's actually God's program for saving all of mankind. And so he, as a messenger, wanted his manner of coming to them and his manner of communicating with them to fit in to the very message of the gospel. He didn't want his manner to contradict the gospel. He wanted it to fit in with that. And so he wasn't going to use Greek rhetoric and oratory, so their means of persuading people so that you could say you have your belief, your faith is resting on man's power of persuasion, not upon the message itself. And so God uses a message that is offensive to people, and yet many believe it. Next week we'll look at it. It's the Spirit of God who communicates this message to the heart and says, this is the truth, this is right. Without that, people cannot receive the message because it does sound stupid and weak to the world. And yet this is the very program of God. Later he calls it a mystery, something that's been long hidden and now finally revealed. So God has been prophesying and predicting this for many, many centuries, letting them know little more and more and more about the Christ and his program of salvation. And then here he's revealed it to them by Christ's death and then resurrection 3 days later. And remember, last week we talked about the audience, and he said, look around. There's not many that are of the upper class, not many noble, not many wise, not many powerful, not many rich. He said, God wants to use the weak things to shame the strong. And so he said, this is God's program. And remember, we saw last week how one countess said, thank God for the letter M. Selena, because she said, he didn't say not any, he just said not many. And she was one who had come to know Christ. And she was a very avid evangelist, evangelizing not only the poor, but the upper class, and even the king himself, telling them the gospel, who really thought the gospel was for lower people on the ladder. And so, just to look at some of the verses we looked at last week, 18 of chapter 1, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So one group, it's foolish. Who are they? Those who are perishing. Those who continue to think like the world. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Now that we've been convinced by the Spirit, this is it. We see it differently. Remember, he said, Jews look for a sign. Jews demand miraculous signs, but Greeks look for wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, this is something to stumble over. And to the Greeks, the Gentiles, this is foolish. Because remember, they said, yeah, there's sin in the world, but where does the sin come from? It comes from our bodies. Our souls are polluted by our bodies. And so when you die, the soul leaves the body. It's free from its prison house. And so they thought, oh, we don't want a resurrection. We want to be souls free from bodies, and then that'll take care of sin. Whereas actually, it's the soul that causes the body to sin. And it's the soul that needs to be saved. He saves us first on the inside, and then later he'll save the body. He said, Jews demand miraculous signs. And so he said, because they demand it, we're not going to give it to them. Remember, even the Lord Jesus, he was doing miracles, healing people. When the rulers came up and said, show us a sign, he wouldn't do it. He did many signs, but he wouldn't do it on demand because he knew their hearts were wrong. And Paul does the same thing. He said, I've done the marks of an apostle among you, signs and wonders and miracles. But here he's saying, I wanted to show weakness. Why? So that your faith would be based upon the message itself. Christ crucified. We're going to take communion. What do we celebrate? We celebrate the death of our leader, crucified as a criminal by Imperial Rome. We understand that that is God's program, but it's actually a miraculous revelation to our hearts and minds that we would believe that. Verse 24, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So yes, Jews want signs. Greeks want wisdom. But of that group, some of the Jews believed and some of the Greeks believed. And as we said last week, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. For God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the lowly things of the world and the despised things to shame those, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Why? Why did he do this? So that no one would boast. No one would boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Therefore, as he quotes Jeremiah, as it's written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let not the wise man, let not the wealthy man, let not the mighty man boast in his wisdom or his wealth or his strength or his power, but let everyone who boasts, boast only in the Lord. And so boasting is excluded. We must not boast in men, but we must boast in God. I'll show you a little bit later that he actually boasts in the Corinthian church himself, and why that's not a contradiction. He said to Paul in his weakness, he had prayed three times for God to take away this weakness, a thorn in the flesh. We don't know really what it is. People say it might have been his eyes, because we know he had poor eyes. It might have been something else. But he said, I prayed three times for God to take this away. And he said, no, I'm going to leave you with that weakness. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, that Christ's power may rest on me. So this is something that Paul had learned. And he said, you have to learn it too. You have to know that God's power can rest on you while you're weak. He says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Let's say that. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now let's think about fear and trembling. What does he mean about fear and trembling? We're going to look at this. Fear and trembling comes because there's a possibility of success in evaluation. Look at those three words. An evaluation. Have you had any of those? Is it fun? Especially if you're being tested? Because you can succeed in this test. It's possible, but what's also possible? That you don't succeed. You can move forward, or maybe you don't. Maybe you stay right where you are. And so the possibility of success in evaluation can cause fear and trembling. And then working for the Lord in his energy, and then concerned about the Lord's goals. So let's look at these. I just said that. Since you have the possibility of success, you also have the possibility of not succeeding. And so this can make someone anxious to make sure they get ready and they do their best in an evaluation. And is Paul saying that that's wrong? He said, no, that's not wrong. That's a normal human response, and there's times for that. And there's also times not to do that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. You've heard this. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. So one of the things that we often fear is failure, but sometimes we even fear success. We know why we fear failure. We don't want to be rejected. We want people to look down on us. We don't want to despise ourselves. But why would people fear success? And it's possible to do that. Because once you succeed and you can do something, people will start depending on you to keep doing that. And they'll rely on you. And now, suddenly, you have to stay reliable, stay dependable. But God wants us to not fear success. Remember what he told Joshua. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. But as I was with him, so I'll be with you. But only be strong and very courageous. And wherever you set your foot, that will belong to you. And everything you do, you will succeed and you will prosper as long as you stay in the book and follow my word. Then you will succeed. But be strong and courageous. It takes courage to trust God and to move forward and to succeed. And sometimes we can fear that. Because some people think, if I try and I don't succeed, I fail, so I'll avoid failure by what? By doing nothing, by not trying. But that's not how God created us. He wants us all to achieve what's possible for human beings and for the new nature that we have in Christ. Look at this promise. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, he who remains in me, and I in him, bears what? Much fruit. He said, you will be fruitful if you just remain with me. Apart from me, what can you do? Nothing. But with me, you can bear much fruit. And this verse, Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's say that. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now the next issue is working for the Lord in his energy. We just saw that in those last two verses, but there are more with that. In Philippians 2, Paul says this. He says, just as you've always obeyed, not only when I was with you, but also in my absence, now work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work to his good pleasure. God is at work with you. Notice the words in verse 12. How does it end? The last three words. Fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. We should be working with fear and trembling. What's this mean? This means the kind of energy, the stressful energy the energy of tension of something that you can succeed at or you can fail at. You can get it done, or maybe it doesn't get done. You understand that? Have you ever felt that kind of pressure? Is it all wrong? No, it's not all wrong. It's part of being human. Human. What we need is to make sure that we're doing the things that God wants us to do. We can have many other goals that are outside of God's will, but if we have goals within God's will, He still wants us, can we say, to stress about the right things? To be under pressure about the right things? To worry about the right things? And to focus our energy in it so that you are energized. And anybody here ever compete in sports? Especially like where you're one-on-one or it's up to you to make the, like I wrestled, so it was always one-on-one. And so when you're up, you know you're up, right? You watch everybody else and then it's your turn and like no one can help you. You have to do it by yourself. And so before every match, how did I feel? What did I do? I had fear and trembling. As soon as the match began, it's gone because you're doing it. You're active. But it's actually a good thing to have this fear and trembling. It means you're about to do something important, something that you could fail at, something that could not be done well, but you can do it well if you do it in the strength and in the guidance that God gives. And that's what He wants from us. And so Paul came in weakness, not in the power of men, but only in the power of God, so that God's power would show through him. And fear and trembling, anticipating that something good could happen here, or maybe it wouldn't, if he didn't cooperate with God and let God work through him. Here's the words again in another letter from Paul. Paul talks to husbands, and then wives, and then children, and then who else is in a household in those days? Slaves. And so the last group in the household were slaves. And he said, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. Now, does he mean being afraid of them? He doesn't actually mean being afraid of them. Watch, listen as we go on. In the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So obey this master because you're obeying Christ. Because when you obey Christ, there's actually a reward. There's something to be gained or not. You can gain it or not gain it, depending on how you do it. So as to Christ, not by way of eye service. The boss has come, look busy. It doesn't mean that. Just so the boss sees you. Do this when the boss isn't looking, because who's always seeing us? God is always seeing us. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but someone who wants to please God, the God who sees all the time. But as slaves of Christ. So you are a slave. Now, we don't have those today. But you might feel that way in your job. You have more mobility than slaves did, but even if you are slaving to your job, consider yourself a slave of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so whatever your job is, that's one thing, but how you do it and the attitude that you have towards other people, towards your master, towards other servants, towards your family, towards everyone, and your attitude towards God, this gives you the possibility of pleasing God and fulfilling the will of God from your heart. And then he goes on. With good will, render the service, but do it as to the Lord and not to men. You understand that? Don't do it to your master. Do it through your master to Christ. So if you work for General Motors or Ford or DTE or the city of Dearborn, or you work for yourself, whoever you work for, do it as to the Lord, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, that he'll receive back from the Lord, whether he's slave or free. Do you understand that? This is a reward that you can get, or maybe not, depending on if you do it for the Lord in the strength that He gives. And He says, how do you do that? With fear and trembling, with the excitement and with the stress, like, let's do this right, let's do this well. Now, how many times do we stress over things that are not important, that are not the will of God? What did Jesus say? What did He say about the food? And what did He say about your clothing? He said, why are you worried about these things? Won't God help you here? What does He do for the birds and for the flowers? Doesn't He love you more than that? And so don't stress about those things. And that's what Paul says at the end of Philippians. He said, I've learned to go without or to have plenty. And I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I have. I've learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we can do those things, but the thing is, let's be doing the things that God wants us to do. And that's how we treat one another, how we love one another in the church, and the grace we show to those outside. So we want to be concerned about the Lord's goals. Let me read you something out of the second book of Corinthians. Paul was, they were following other apostles. He called them false apostles, super apostles. And he said, do I have to prove myself to you again that I'm your apostle? I started your church. You should know I'm your apostle. These people have bragged about themselves. Okay, I'd be a fool to brag about myself, but I will do it just because these other people have done it. Let me brag why I am your apostle. Let me go through the credential list of why you should listen to me and why I am your apostle. This is 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to speak like this. I am more. I've worked much harder. Been in prison more frequently. Did you know that was on the list? In your CV, if you want to be an apostle, you have to say how many times you've been in prison. Been flogged more severely. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Now, some of you like math. What's that? 39 times 5. Okay, so 195. Okay. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have gone often without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Does this sound like a job you want? I mean, where do you sign up, right? I mean, besides everything else, he says, in addition to all these other things, these external things, he says there's the daily pressure, the stress, the daily pressure on me for my concern for all the churches. Is Paul anxious? Yes. He's anxious for what? The churches, for the work of God is doing and among people. Many times he could not rest until he sent a letter back and had people bring back a report. How are they doing? How are they doing in Thessalonica? How are they doing in Corinth? He was stressed about the churches. Now, that's funny because isn't he the guy that said, don't be anxious for anything, but with your prayer of supplication, give thanks, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? He told us this, but this is the right thing to stress about. And when you're stressing about it, when you're caring about it, ask for God to help you. Pray that God would bring about the result you need. But throw yourself into this, because this is the kind of thing that we're supposed to have fear and trembling about. The work of God. The energy. Just before you go out for the match, just before you have to sing that performance or go on stage, everyone has that kind of nervous energy. He says we need that. We need God working in us and recognizing that He will work through you. You're not a robot. He's going to work through you because you now care about the things that He cares about. And the things that are on His heart, they're on your heart. And God will help you that way. And so Paul had sent Titus back to check on the church at Corinth. And how are they doing? And Titus brought back good news. It made Titus happy to see how well they were doing. And then when Titus got back and told Paul, he rejoiced too. He said, we rejoiced even more, much more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit had been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I've boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame. But as we spoke all things in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. His affection abounds all the more towards you as he remembers the obedience of you all. Obedience to Paul's letter, but what that means, obedience to the Lord. And you received him how? What does it say? You received him how? With fear and trembling. Do you understand? He gave them instructions, and they went about these instructions as this is something we really have to do. We have to do this. We have to make this a priority. This has to get done. We can let other things slide, but we have to get this done. This has to be our focus. And they received Titus with fear and trembling because they knew they could listen to Titus or not. They could do what Titus told them or not. And Titus was giving Paul's instruction, who was giving the Lord's instruction. And so they said, we can do the will of God or not. Let's do it. Let's do it with the energy of the Spirit working through us. Now, notice he uses the word boasting, and he said in chapter 1 and 2, I want to eliminate boasting, but I boasted. I boasted to Titus about you. He also says, I boasted to the Macedonian churches about you guys in the second letter. When is boasting good? C.S. Lewis said, he gave a sermon called The Weight of Glory. How many read that sermon or heard it? Okay? And he said, glory was weird to me. I couldn't understand it. It was either like you wanted attention that everyone had, and that seemed competitive and evil, or you would glow like a light bulb, and that just seemed weird. He didn't really understand what it was about. And then he says he looked into it. He saw that all of the earlier saints said glory was very important. And one of the things he said, why do you want recognition? And he said, there's a recognition that is very humble. It's like the humility of a child. And it's a beautiful humility. It's the child trying to please its parent. Or a student trying to please the teacher. Or a karate trainee trying to please the sensei. Any inferior trying to do the will of the superior and have that superior say, well done, good job. That's what you're supposed to do. You've moved up to the next level. You can go to the next grade. You'll learn more in that grade. And then you can go to the next grade and the next grade, the next level. That's what God wants for us. And so he was talking to Titus and he said, this is the level that they're at in Corinth. And so when you get there, you can expect this. But he was a little bit nervous. Like if they got there, they'd act like this instead of like this. But he said, praise God, they lived up to their level. And Titus was relieved. And now I'm relieved, Paul said. everyone's happy because they're moving upward and doing what God wants them to do. But at each level, what do they experience? Fear and trembling. We can do what God wants, or we can let go of it. We can fulfill the will of God and let Him work through us, or not. There's something that we can gain and have that reward where He says, "Well done." And that's really what church is all about. That's what we're here for on earth, is to help one another grow like that in Christ-likeness and as a group. So we need to stop thinking like the world and think like Jesus. We need to stop fearing failure, that is, failing to do the will of God, and fearing success, like people will start to depend upon me. Good. We want people to depend on us. We want to keep going up in our levels of spirituality. And so we need to walk in the Spirit daily. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and how he was such an amazing example of someone who constantly was working hard in your energy to do your will on the earth and to build up your church. We thank you for him and the other apostles and the writings that we have in the New Testament that records what you spoke through them and what you did through them. Help us, Lord, in this church to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and help us, Lord, to have that kind of weakness where your power shows through us, that dependency upon you working through us. And our own, Lord, help us to tremble and have the right kind of fear, the fear of a student wanting to please the teacher, of a child wanting to please the parent, a disciple pleasing you, Lord, and putting that energy and concentration into doing your will as you teach us. We know that you will not leave us on our own, but you will teach us yourself through the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, and help us to grow in Christ, to know and do your will day by day, walking step by step and going up level after level here on earth. We know that we'll never be perfect, but we thank you, Lord, that we can change. You take us where we are, but you don't leave us there. You change us and move us forward, and we thank you for that. Bless us also in this time of remembering the sacrifice of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, as we take it together as a family of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.